finishing up the touches, because you say, walk down the hallways and you say, is this it? Yes, starting tomorrow. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I want to speak about finishing well. Of course, as most everyone knows, this is Esther's and I last Sunday for being senior pastors of Parkview Christian Church, and it has been a pleasure and an honor to serve the church and to serve the kingdom of God in this way. And we appreciate it so very much, the opportunity, and we appreciate the growth, and we appreciate everything the Lord has done within this church in the past 4 years. And we just give Him praise, and we give Him honor, and we don't take any credit for any talents because of it, but we just give Him the glory, because it's truly by His blessings that the church has grown and flourished and is doing more ministry now than it was 4 years ago. But I want to speak about finishing well, because the reality is that we all have seasons in our lives that will end. And maybe some of us are even looking at the possibility that, you know, I don't have as much in the forward as I do the rear now of life. And the reality is we all come to a place in our life, whether it's a season or whether it's our life or whatever it might be, that we have to come to the understanding that it's going to end. And I'm not here to speak a death message, but I'm here to speak a message of hope, because the reality is that we all need to finish well. Paul would say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Lord, add your blessing to your word this morning. Allow it to be life unto us. And so here's the Apostle Paul now at the end of his life, and he's writing the last known work to Timothy. And this would be the last known writing that we have of Paul. And so there's a much different tone between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. When you read 1 Timothy, it's a lot of, you know, hey, do this in the church, and, you know, these people should do this. And it's a very relaxed tone. But when you come to 2 Timothy, he's really hitting a lot of bulletin points. It's a very much a small book of do this, don't forget this, keep on moving forward, continue striving, keep on going. And Paul, the reason why is because he's at the last part of his life. He's getting ready to be offered up into Nero's circus. He's getting ready, as he would say, to be a drink offering, literally getting ready to be poured out for the Lord. And so understanding what your future holds in mind, that any moment now you could be a martyr. But yet, Paul doesn't sit here with regret. Paul doesn't sit here and say, a pity party for me. Because, Timothy, if you just knew what I was going through. Timothy, if you just had any idea, and I don't want to go here, and it's not fair. I've done all this stuff for God. And it's not fair that right now, today, I'm getting ready to be poured out. And I think it's because Paul would teach us throughout his life, and Christ would also teach us how to be able to live a life so that you get to the end of your life, or you get to an end of a season in your life, and you begin to walk through a new season where you don't have to look back and just say the what ifs, the what ifs, the what ifs, the what ifs along the way. I meet too many people at the end of their life or at the end of a season that look back and they are filled with regret, because the reality is, what if I had done XYZ differently? What if I had truly done what God wanted me to do? If the devil can't stop you, what he will do is delay you. If the devil can't defeat you, he will begin to delay your life into what God has. And so then when you look back, you see that, man, I felt like there was promise. I felt like there was hope. But why didn't I live up to it? I think one of the things that we have to remember in our lives is something that Jesus would say, and it was the Great Commission. He would say in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what we see here is what has been known as the Great Commission, and it's the Great Commission of the church today. But what is it inside of your life that you believe that God has spoken personally in your life, saying, this is what I want you to do? This is the place that I want you to go. These are the people I want you to speak to. This is the area that I want you to minister in. What is it that God has spoken to you personally? Perhaps it's a business. Perhaps it's a job. Perhaps it's going back to school. Whatever it is, there's something in your life that God says, this is the thing. This is the direction. And see, I like what Jesus does here, because he could have easily said, and you go and do it this way. You go and preach in this tone. You go and speak to these people only. You go and have this program. But he never does. He doesn't give them a way. He gives them a direction. Because the reality throughout 2,000 years, the way of ministry has changed. The way of ministry has changed greatly from when Jesus spoke those words. And I think in his infinite knowledge, he understood that the way that they would minister then is going to be completely different than the way that ministry needs to happen today, because society has changed. Things have changed. Things have taken place. And the what you're doing in your life right now, if it does not change and if it does not transform it, then it is going to be insignificant later on. And it's not going to make much of a difference. We need to have a transforming relationships with God. We need to have a transforming ministry. We need to have a transforming life and not just hold on to the things that might have worked last year and 5 years ago. You know, I'm not big on the, you know, these kids today, they just don't understand. But you know, these kids today, they just don't understand. The struggle is real. I mean, you know, Siri, Lexi, do my homework for me. I mean, they just have no idea. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I know some of you say, well, that's so, you know, just last week. But the reality is they just have no idea. They don't know what it's like to go get pizza on a Friday night and to go to the video store, Blockbusters, you know, on a few miles down the road, and to go in there and walk up and down to try to find that movie. They don't understand any of that. They don't know what it's like to see that movie sitting on the shelf and running to it and grabbing it and realizing there's nothing behind it because everybody already has taken it. Like, what? They don't know. They don't know what it's like to get the movie. You know, here you go, Mom. No. You got to get the hot buys. The hot buys are 99 cents. Mom, we've already watched Weekend at Bernie's. He's already dead. I want to see Jurassic Park, the original. They don't know. They're just streaming this and all of that. And the reality is that we want to still speak to them the same way that we are so accustomed to. We want to not have this transforming message in our lives. And we look at this generation and the generations that are following and saying, what happened to them? And I would say, no, what happened to the church, and the church being a transformal church and understanding that no, the message does not change and we do not compromise the message, but the way that we go out and present the message does change. Those are the things that has to be a transformation within understanding. And as we transform, we will transform into seasons. We'll transform out of seasons. There'll be things that will take place that we will have to leave behind and not carry in with us through the next season of our life. See, Paul would understand that because he would say in Philippians that I have forgotten the past. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. He said, I've forgotten the past. And there would be a lot that Paul would have to forget about. There would be a lot in his life because he was not without sin. The first time we get a hold of understanding who Paul is, he is sitting outside approving and holding the coats for the ones that would be martyring Stephen. And sometime later in the book of Acts, we would see him next breathing, it says, threats against the church and seeking a letter so that he could go out and persecute the church and any that might be found in what he would call the way. The things that he would have had to done in his life, splitting up families, perhaps torturing, sending people to jail, doing terrible things. There would be a lot that he would have to look back to and say, I choose to allow that to be forgiven under Christ Jesus. I choose to understand that that was, as Paul would put it, the old man. And now I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have been redeemed and raised up. And that was the old flesh, the old ways. But now I'm a new I have a new understanding and I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. And so I choose to understand that he is ever renewing my mind. He's ever renewing my action. He's ever renewing me. And because I am renewing myself in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can truly look back on the past and the mistakes and say, that's back there. I'm not even worried about it. But we get captured by past regrets in our lives. We get captured by past mistakes and we are held hostage by them. We don't want to move forward in our lives because maybe it didn't work out last year. Maybe it didn't work out 5 years ago. Maybe it's true, it didn't work out. But that doesn't mean that that has the right to dictate today what might you might be able to step into in Christ. Forgetting the past and stepping into the new area that God has called you to do. It's easier said than done, but it's part of the transformational process that we have in Christ Jesus. It's part of the process of still reaching out and being relative to the world around us. The past should not dictate where we're going. It should be guideposts, but it shouldn't hold the steering wheel and lead us where we're going. And also, Paul would say this in Philippians as well. He would say, I've learned how to be content in all things. In all things, Paul? Yes, all things. I've learned how to be content, whether I've been hungry, whether I've had enough to eat, whether I've been sick, or whether I've been healed. No matter where I find myself out, he says, I've learned how to be content, whether I've been shipwrecked, whether I've been beaten, whether I'm in the home with friends, wherever I'm at, I've learned how to be content. Not complacent, because those are two drastically different things. But understanding that if I am truly walking in the will of the Lord, and if I'm truly walking with Him, and He's truly leading me and guiding me in my footsteps and where I'm going and my coming and my going, that where I am today and where I'm going tomorrow, then I have to understand that He's in control. So if hell is breaking around me, I'm still in His will. If I feel like I'm in the pasture and I'm on the mountaintop and everything is amazing, then I'm still in His will and I'm content. But when I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't feel like there's any hope around me, I can still be content because I'm still in His arms. Where is your content level at? Not complacency. Not the complacency of, well, it is what it is. I don't agree with that type of a life. Well, there's nothing anybody can do about it. I don't agree with that. But when we begin to understand that God is in control of my life, wherever I begin to lead my life, He has never forsaken me, and He's still there. And I think another area where Paul would look back in his life and be able to say, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this thing. I'm ready to go forth. It's because he's left a heritage behind him. And we have no recordings of Paul's family. Most people say he never had kids. But what he did have was a spiritual inheritance for other people around him. He had a spiritual heritage. Timothy, the one he was writing to right now, most people say he was around 15 years old, leading a megachurch. Imagine that. He was leading an entire city for Christ. He was one of Paul's direct person that contributed so much from his life. We see so many other people, Priscilla, Aquila, that was a direct person of his life. We see so many people, we read about so many people, and so many people that we never heard about, I'm sure, would be saying that it's because of Paul influenced my life directly, that when he looked back, he could say, these are the next generation. And I don't have to carry the baton any longer. I don't have to run this thing any longer. I've done all the work I can, and I leave it to the next generation and allow them to begin to lead like never before. Because I've built that foundation. And that foundation that I built has been with Christ Jesus. And because I built my foundation in Him, that next generation come up behind me and build what they want. And then the next generation is going to build what they have. And the next generation behind them. And we begin to leave a foundation for that next generation. Nobody here today is an original member of Parkview Christian Church. I know some of you feel like you might be, but you're not. There was a generation that chose to sacrifice for this church. Not so this church could have an expiration mark on it, but so the church could thrive, so this church could be relevant to the generation around it, and so that the next generation could take a hold and move forward. Church, when I look at you today, I see so much promise and so much potential. And as I said, probably one of the first Sundays I think I was here, the best days for Parkview Christian Church are still ahead. And today, I still say that. And I still truly mean that. I believe God has a unique plan for this church and for this corner of Chesapeake. Because there's others around this area that need to hear the hope that only Christ Jesus has. The people that walk in these churches' doors need to understand that they are loved by a God that would sacrifice himself for them. They need to know that there's a group of people within their area that truly believes that in them and that God has a call on their lives. But we can choose at any point to say, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to go inward. I want to go in on myself, and I want to forget about them out there. And we have to guard against that. The leadership team has to guard against those thoughts and those feelings. Because being relevant and being a church like that, what we have become, requires a lot of work. And it requires diligence. And it requires stepping outside of our comfort zone and reaching out. So that when the next generation comes behind us, they have something to grab onto and something even better to build off of. And so that we can look back in our lives and we can say, I've run the race. I've done everything that God has asked me to do. And now I begin stepping into this new season. Church, let's finish that way. So that we can hold our heads up high. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our life this morning, Lord. We thank you for our church, Lord, for this church on this corner in Chesapeake. Lord, that you have so much potential in place, that you still today want to do so much. And we thank you for that, Lord, that the future is bright in Christ Jesus. Lord, and I pray for anyone that might be stepping into new seasons in their life, Lord, that you will help them be able to step into that season boldly. And that you'll help them with strength and encouragement, Father. Lord, we thank you for that. We give you honor and we give you glory. In Christ's name, amen. As we get ready to close in this next